You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning and welcome to North Sound 2 Talking on this Mother's Day. So let's do that bit first. To all mothers everywhere, it's your day. You should be sitting back, feet up, and everyone should be pampering to you. However, definition of mom, probably that doesn't happen. But anyway, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Over the next 60 minutes, you, as well as everybody else, are welcome to discuss the local stories that matter this week and the issues that are important to you. As ever, anything can happen before midday, and we're looking for you guys to be part of that. It's your opportunity to voice your opinion on air to listeners across the northeast of Scotland. Has something happened that has left you speechless, has annoyed you, upset you, made you angry? Maybe you have something you want to celebrate, and you may have some good news to share. We were having a look for the good news and we found it very sparse. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple of things. Two major northeast transport projects have moved forward this week, but without the Aberdeen bypass, they could come to a grinding halt. The controversial third Don crossing is now a step closer after compulsory purchase orders were issued on Thursday. Local MSP Lewis MacDonald.
What's happened here is that the reporters, Scottish Government reporters, having held an inquiry into the compulsory purchase order at Granham and Tillydrone, have decided to allow the council to make those compulsory purchases of people's property in order for the third on crossing to go ahead. That's disappointing because I think local residents made a very strong case that it was inappropriate to go ahead with that because the council hadn't properly considered other options and they didn't have any money to build the third on crossing even if it was given approval. So it's a disappointing outcome, but perhaps not a terribly surprising one, because the inquiry was only looking at the issue of compulsory purchase. And once again, it'll be down to local residents to think carefully about how they vote in May, because clearly this will only go forward if the incoming council choose to find the money to build that bridge and build that new road through Granham and Tillydrone. Folk in Granham who bought their homes in good faith, believing that that land would remain their common property and would not be built upon. And also for people in Tillydrone who have long been very anxious about the impact of bringing thousands of commuter cars through their local neighbourhood if this bridge and road are ever built. And so disappointing for them, and as you say, creates some uncertainty. But at the end of the day, we know the council don't have any money to build the road. That's why they took it out of their capital plan next year. And of course, with the council elections coming in May, there may be a different council in the next period, and that may take a different decision and decide that really there's no great advantage for drivers or anybody else in building a bridge there, and instead look at investing in the Hodgdon, as we've been saying for a long time that they should.
Now, that's Lewis MacDonald, MSP, and remember last week he was the one that was indicating that maybe after the elections, if the Labour Party get back in, there might be a change of thought on the Union Terrace Gardens. However, the locals in Granham, Denston and Tillydrone have, as he said, long been concerned about the plans for another bridge over the River Don. Now, Laura Lees took time and took a fair bit of time to give an explanation. She will have to give up part of her garden for the new route.
It just arrived to the door, opened up the letter, and it was telling us about this compulsory purchase order and that we could go ahead and go to a meeting to find out further what was happening. But, a letter through just showing us sort of plans, and then the next thing, the compulsory order came through along with it. I mean, it's our life. Our life is like, this is our home. You know, we've seen it built from nothing. We've been here the whole time it's been built. So we've seen it, you know, built from the ground up. And it's, you know, to know that you feel like it's a bit of countryside here, because all you hear is the birds and the, you know, the squirrels, and there's deer, you know, some see the deer. And, you know, all this is just going to end up being like a rat run and noisy. The noise is going to be horrendous. And I feel that the road is just going to go and be a built up into St Macar Drive, which, again, is just going to be a bottleneck there. So it's not actually solving anything. I think there has to be another way. I think they have to build the AWPR first. I think that needs to go ahead first before they start work anywhere else. And I think that would ease the congestion to start with, and then, you know, decide at a later date how they feel. But right now, you know, they need to get the AWPR fixed, and get the road there sorted before they start anything else. Because I just feel, again, you know, it's a road to nowhere. You're going to end up with the same problem that you've got at the Hadigan, but at St Macar Drive. And, you know, what's the point of taking people through Tillage Road, you know, through Tillage Road, through a built-up area to go up onto Great Northern Road or St Macar Drive? And again, it's just going to be a bottleneck. We don't know when it's actually going to start, how long it's going to take. So it could take up to 2 years. So they could be in and out our garden, our land for up to 2 years. So, you know, you're not going to be able to use your garden. If we ever wanted to sell, obviously, we would hope to have been in this house for a long time. But the noise level is just going to be horrendous, may force us to want to sell, and we're going to lose, you know, thousands on what would have been a good property. I don't know how I would feel, because I feel like we've got like a double whammy, because we've got two roads coming and we're right in the corner are going to be two main really busy roads, whereas right now it's so quiet. So to think, It's heart-wrenching, because you don't know what's going to happen. You're in limbo because you think, I don't want to sell because I love my house. I love where we are. It's quiet. It's a lovely area. I don't want to sell it, but do I want to be in the middle of, you know, in a house where the noise is going to be horrendous and we're going to have no privacy?
Now, as I said, Laura really covered all the bases there. She spoke about the fact that people had stayed there, it's been hanging over their heads for periods of time. She also told about the peripheral route, what that needs to be done. There was a broach in the subject about the Hadigan roundabout, which is something that has to be broached as well. Also on Thursday, the government published orders for the dualling of the A90. Now, that's between Balmeddy and Tipperty, north of Aberdeen. This in preparation. Before we go at the phone lines, we should really listen to that. It means that the project is ready to be given the go-ahead, but the upgrade of that dual carriageway will have to wait until the AWPR is released from its current legal wrangle.
Obviously, to make further progress, we have to go through the AWPR legal situation first of all, and we wait to hear what happens in relation to that. But I think people in the North East will be delighted that this project has moved forward this vital stage to having made orders published.
Now, the whole thing seems to interlock. On the phone lines, I think it was it Bruce came on first, Bruce?
Yes, hello.
Hello, Bruce. As I said, Lewis MacDonald basically saying, putting the case for the government side, Laura Lees and her well, heartfelt piece about, you know, the whole situation. I would suggest that she is rather practical in the way that she's looking at it. And then the government stance on the whole thing on the basis that the Balmeddy-Tipperty Road has been allowed to become, that they've made orders for it to become a dual carriageway. But once again, it all relies on different things, don't you think?
Yes, but I moved to the Bridge of Dawn in 1982, and we were promised that a third Dawn crossing was going to go over the Dawn,
yep,
to alleviate the traffic.
Yep.
And I'm still waiting.
Yep.
We have several miles between the two bridges at the moment, with nothing in between.
Yep.
No way of getting across to Tilley Drone. It's crazy. If the river wasn't there, I mean, there'd be no road.
Go on, Bruce, state the obvious. If the river wasn't there, we wouldn't need a...
But there'd be communication between the two communities.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's crazy. There's nearly 30,000 people on the Bridge of Dawn, and we're trapped. Two pathetic outlets to the city. Inadequate. Totally inadequate.
What time do you... Sorry, now, I don't mean to pry, but what time do you have to be at your work?
Well, I don't. At least I use a motorbike to get to work. So I specifically bought a motorbike to get around this.
Well, that was my next question.
Yes.
In my case, I stay in the Bridge of Dawn. I make a point of not travelling at the rush hour. I make a point of working from home until the traffic clears, because it does my head in.
Yeah. I mean, I feel sorry for the people in Tilley Drone, because this has been hanging over them for years and years. But it was promised to the people in the Bridge of Dawn. Now, because there's this massive distance between the two bridges, it's crazy. It really is ridiculous. They keep going on about the road to nowhere, but the road could be built to go somewhere. It's elementary.
Yes.
The will has to be there. They're talking about 7,000 homes in Dainston going up in the next 8 years or so.
I was away to say
7,000 homes, and that's on top of all the others.
Yes.
To the north of Aberdeen.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. The people that are protesting, they're out of touch with reality.
Mm-hmm.
All those thousands of houses. The Harrigan roundabout has to be upgraded as well, and the WPR, the Western Peripheral Route, has to go in.
This is what I was trying to get at. We're getting ourselves into a catch-22 situation, don't you think? Because the peripheral route is not going to clear, in my opinion, the problems we have city centre.
It's going to help.
But it's not going to clear it.
We're talking about straws and camel's back.
Yes,
it's going to... Take away 1% of the traffic, a couple of percent, and you've got no problem.
Yes, but it'll allow people then to address the matter and maybe have a little bit more scope for manoeuvring. Would that be fair?
It might do.
Harrigan, if Harrigan is solved somehow, don't know how, that will not cure the congestion in the city, but it might allow a little bit more room for, manoeuvring.
That should have been sorted out in the 1970s. I'm fed up saying it, but that should have been a flyover way back then. It's ridiculous the way the city has been allowed to stagnate. The oil capital of Europe, it's ridiculous.
I don't think...
things like the airport turnoff. Why is there no underpass for the airport? We've got an underpass for the Rowett Institute.
Yes.
We've got one for Craveston.
Uh-huh.
Why not one for the airport? As I hold up there many mornings, it's ridiculous.
Do you have an answer?
Well, the answer would have been an underpass for the airport or a flyover.
Yes, okay.
The third Don crossing has to go ahead.
Do you feel it has to go through Tillydrone?
Well, I don't see much alternative. I mean, as I say, we've got several miles between the two existing bridges with a private bridge in between.
Yes.
Now, the people that bought their houses there were well aware. They were well aware that there was controversy over a third Don crossing and it was likely to go ahead at some point.
Yeah, yeah. The people in Tillydrone, it's like if it goes through their back garden, it's going to affect them, isn't it?
Of course it is.
You feel for these people as well, don't you?
It's going to affect me as well.
Is it?
My house backs onto the parkway, which would be the main route.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it would affect me. But it is essential.
In practical terms, you think it's essential, Bruce?
Of course it is. How can you possibly put thousands more houses in the Bridge of Don and not have a third Don crossing?
It seems fair. It seems fair that we need the facilities to enable us to build more housing if Bridge of Don area is chosen for more housing.
Well, I would say categorically no more houses in the Bridge of Don until there is a third Don crossing.
Okay.
If they were to build no more houses in the Bridge of Don, I would say, well, okay, we'll accept that. We can cope with it. But the fact that they're building thousands more, a lot of people aren't aware of this.
Yeah,
the plans are there. They've been passed. Thousands more homes.
Yes.
And that's Bridge of Don alone.
Yes.
That's without everything to the north of Aberdeen.
And there is potential planning out at, is it Black Dog?
That's right.
There's plans up for I don't know what you call it, but it's like a small village within the area of Black Dog. There's plans, we're on show, I think it was last week for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that will have an addition as well.
I mean, the people in Tillydrone are complaining, as well they might. I mean, it is very tough in some of them. It really is going to be hard for some of them. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But then you've got to appreciate as well that the people in King Street Corridor and Great Northern Road and places like that are suffering just now from excess traffic that, that's put that way.
Yeah. Bruce, listen, thanks very much for taking the time. Stay with the conversation if you want to come back at us.
Okay.
After the break, we'll be talking to Norman, who wants to discuss the Western Peripheral Route. It's the talk-in. It's your chance to have your say. Currently talking about the third bridge across the Don.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. Welcome to Talk In. You can also text us in 61025. Grant's in charge of Texas. Prefix your text message with Cammy, spelt CAMMY. John on the phone's taking all your calls and messages. You can email Cammy at northsound2.com and you can tweet us on Cammy 1035. Norman, how are you?
Not bad at all, Cammy. But how many times will we have to have this conversation?
Norman, I hope we have them lots because it keeps us in a job. But that's purely selfish, okay?
Cammy, we've been talking this conversation has been going on for years and years and years. How many more generations of Aberdonians will be discussing if the Western Peripheral Route is going to go ahead, if there's going to be a third Bridge of Dawn crossing, if there's going to be a wind farm off the coast, if Donald Trump's golf course is going to be going ahead, if houses are going to be built in certain areas. I feel sorry for the people of Aberdeen. The only thing that seems to get the go-ahead is the raising of Union Terrace Gardens.
Ah, which... but whoa.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Well, not necessarily.
I mean, the referendum has said yes.
I know.
But there has been some articles and some items which are appearing indicating that there's still going to be people against it and actively going against it.
What we need to do first, what we need to find out first and foremost, is the Western Peripheral Route going ahead? As far as I can see, it's not. They say it is, but there seems to be a big question mark.
Sorry, Norman, how do you think that?
Because Mr. Walton and his the people he is representing have still to decide whether they're going to be taking it to a further hearing.
Norman, I qualify this by saying I might not know what I'm talking about, but is the time scale not up yet?
That I'm not sure of.
Now,
But do you not agree with me, Cammy, that anything that is beneficial for the vast majority, now I'm not saying for everyone when there's a new development, gets hurt in a certain percentage of the population, lose part of their gardens, lose their house, etc., for any new road, any new bridge, etc.
Well, I have to agree with you on that. But the thing is, Norman, you know, I hear you. You're sounding older than me, man. But, I mean, the positive outlook in the whole thing is that, you know, discussion is putting it... I mean, because it's being discussed so often...
Yeah.
It's going forward. Now, when I first took over the talk-in, Union Terrace Gardens was a hot topic. Now, in principle, that is happening because the people of Aberdeen were given a voice, they voted and said yes. Now, there's still people object to it, I accept.
Yeah.
And there are people who may put forward views and put forward ways of trying to divert it, stop it, change, whatever. But in principle, that had a referendum and on the outcome of the referendum, it happened. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, we're back talking about the peripheral route. The peripheral route has got one more stage to go. I believe we're in a situation, the three judges basically stated that they didn't think it was a good thing to take it further because they didn't see the point. And that was the advice given. The gentleman concerned, who has the right to say what he says, an absolute right, he is considering the point and he has indicated possibly that he will have to think long and hard on this. There is a feeling that it won't go any further and that will then have started. It's cost us a fortune and nothing's happened.
Exactly. Well, let us get a decision on this.
Okay.
Mr. Walton, please let us know, are you going to take it further or can the guys get digging and get the road, the Western Peripheral Road, because that's been going on for years. Let's get one thing done, then the next thing done, and let's see this city progress into a 21st century city instead of all these obstacles that are taking place.
Yes, but the obstacles are based on people's right to object.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
So are you saying... I'm not putting words in your mouth, but are you saying the time scale seems to be taken is your main contention, the time scale and getting this on?
The time scale, Cammy, that's it.
Yeah.
The time scale. In this day and age, yes, go through all the legal processes, etc.
Yes.
But you know, once it's reached a certain stage, it should be said, the government should step in and say, right, we're going ahead with this road.
Yeah.
End of matter.
End of matter.
And that's all that I'm really wanting to say, Cammy, is it seems to go from one stage to another stage to another stage to another stage. And the people of Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire deserve this Western Peripheral Route. They deserve another crossing over the Bridge of Dawn. They actually deserve another one over the Bridge of Dee, to be honest.
Oh, Norman, whoa, we haven't got enough room in that for the show. Okay, we'll do that next week, okay?
Okay.
Norman, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks, Cammy. Thanks, bye.
The Talk-In, it's available to you. Do you stay in Tilliedrone? What's your thoughts on the bridge? You stay in Bridgerton? What's your thought on the bridge? And the peripheral route, the guys who have just been on have basically saying, look, it's all interwoven into anything else. We need to get a move on. And we need to take Aberdeen up with the times. We need to move it through. You can talk to us on 01224 401035. Grant's got a few texts. We'll maybe have a wee look at them soon. You can call us. You can text us on 61025. Prefix your message with Cammy, which is spent C-A-M-M-Y. Email Cammy at northsound2.com, or we're on the tweet thing. You can tweet us at Cammy 1035. One of the other things we picked up on today, leaving that aside, but the discussion's open. Parents in Aberdeen are slamming plans for a sudden price hike for playgroups. The City Council move will see fees almost double for city playgroups and creches. At the moment, I believe a two-hour session is in the region of £4.20. But after April, it will be £7. Now, angry mum of two, Sheila Lang from Bridgerton, has started a petition against the plans.
Around about the 29th of February, we received a letter from the council through our local playgroup advising us that they were going through a review and redesign of its services, really the reason being to ensure they're compliant with the Care Inspectorate regulations. And the cost of implementing the changes means that they're going to increase the charges to parents and carers for the provision of childcare activities. And the new charges were going to take effect as of the 1st of April 2012. Around about 1 month's notice, really. They're going up quite dramatically. It means for mums like myself, I put my son to playgroup 3 mornings a week, and instead of around about £50 a month, I'm now going to be around about £100 a month. Which is, quite an increase. There's just been little or no notification, really. A lot of people are quite angry. A lot of people feel that, you know, they would love to carry on going to playgroup, but they just seriously will not be able to afford to put their children there now. Frustrated, shocked, just unaffordable, really. A lot of people are quite upset because they've got their children settled there and they don't really think, you know, after April they're actually going to be able to continue with the playgroup anymore. And, obviously we stay in quite a small community in Bridgerton, so we realise how much other playgroups are charging. And per session now, I think Little Bod's playgroup is going to be charging around about £7 a session, and other playgroups in the area are around about £5, so that's majorly different. Council services should be for everyone, and people shouldn't be pigeonholed, really. And, I realise that I think it said that if you had an access to leisure card, that you could receive the service half price. Now, I'm not overly sure what that access to leisure scheme is, or, you know, what it's about as such. And I don't know if it's, associated with your income as to whether or not you get an access to leisure card. But, I maybe will have to look into that as well myself, because we're certainly going to feel the pinch here, and we're not going to be able to afford to continue down that line, really, and in the same boat as a lot of other parents.
There you go, Sheila Lang, talking about the fact that the sessions for her kids at the playgroup, the prices have been hiked dramatically. There are a lot of parents who require the services of playgroups in order for the moms to work, whichever basis they work. It's now getting to the stage, I know that some mothers have said it's not economically viable for them actually to work, because the cost of the childcare, it's not one of the things. I mean, it doesn't happen. And as some of the mums I was talking to last week, they said, you know, the option of working is because there's a requirement to earn. It is not because they don't want to look after their kids. But with the price hikes that are coming in, and the price hikes that will be in, and it's happening, they are, many of them, seriously saying, well, it's better, more cost effective, for us to stay at home, look after the kids, and they may then take the option of going out and working at nights, and or working night shifts, etc., etc. So that is definitely a change. If you're out there and it affects you, we'd like to hear from you. And both sides of the story, of course, because we like to have two sides of the thing. 01224 401035. On the phone lines, Drew, how are you, man? Hello.
Hello, I'm fine.
Hello, Drew, how are you?
Hey, bud.
Good, good. Let's hear you.
Right. Everybody's on about the Preferio route, where you use Street Gardens and the upkeep of Aberdeen.
Drew, 2 seconds, mate. You've got radio on the background.
Oh, how do I not switch it
up? You're a good man. Thanks a lot. There you go. One of the things you've got to watch, folks, is when you come on the radio, if you have your radio on in the background, believe you me, it affects our ears, because we wear earphones in the place, and our ears are absolutely firing red just now. Okay, Drew, thanks for that, mate.
It wouldn't affect McCroovy's lugs.
Well, listen, McCroovy doesn't have lugs. Everybody knows that. Go on, Drew.
Right, Abby's on about the ferry route.
Yes.
Unicy Gardens.
Yes.
All right. Aberdeen is just turning and says they're £582 million in debt.
Yes.
Right. For they getting all the money for the DSU Street Gardens, and how much carry on would that HUD can Union Terrace, Union Street?
Yeah.
Can we add a lorries? Can digging out and...
The thing is, Drew, what's happening is, I mean, a lot of the money is being given up by donation from Sir Ian Wood. The rest of the stuff is being...
He's a dissertation of mine.
That's very good.
No, I ain't got any money.
Have you not?
No.
Hey, listen, I have distant relations who are stinking rich as well, and you know something? I didn't have any other money either. But that's just the way of the world. Anyway...
I might think he was just a runner for the fella monies.
Well, you know something? Just a brief aside, I was speaking to old guys... they won't mind me saying old guys, but these guys are well in their 80s, and they were just chatting away and saying, and they remembered, these guys worked in the areas, and they remember Sir Ian Wood when he was just working for the family business and all the rest of it. And the one thing you can say is, hey, you know, boy's done good, isn't he?
He's done good.
Anyway, does he need a statue? Drew, the money is coming forward from the repositioning of taxation figures and of just investment. Now, the point is...
We're paying.
Yes, but the point is, it's money that you would be paying anyway, a lot of it. Now, I agree that it's money has to come forward for this, but it's money that's being redirected. This is what we're led to believe. So the money is in place for the project. The coming and going that'll cause the stoosh, that's just a project management job, you know? And it has to be done in any project, Drew. If you're building houses, there's a project management structure.
Well, I'd rather get it to... last year it was on just before me. I'd rather give the money to them, come for the projects that they're doing.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, Drew, the money... cannot go to that project because it's allocated and it can only be allocated to a particular project. People say that all the money that we're putting into this we can put to that, but that doesn't happen because that won't happen. And mm-hmm. and it's I can understand people's frustrations, but it won't happen that way, Drew, because the money has to go into this project or it will not go.
But what about we're supposed to be loaded, Aberdeen, yes, the Common
Good Fund.
The Common Good Fund.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be loaded. Why does the Common Good Fund invest in, kind of like for people that got projects for the last episode before me and other projects? They just don't do it.
The Common Good Fund... is a fund which is unique to Aberdeen, I believe. No, I don't believe. I know.
No, it should be used for the common good for people of Aberdeen.
Yes, but I think, Drew, and this is off the top of my head, and I would have to look this up, but I am fairly sure I looked something up about the Common Good Fund. It can be only used in certain criteria, and the reason it's not invested is I don't think it's allowed to be invested, because obviously there's a rules, certain rules or regulations about the Common Good Fund. But I understand...
Well, of course they rub up the Bruce.
Yes, but I think it's a fund that cannot be used for investment. It is invested in a certain aspect as it's gaining, you know, gaining interest in this sort of thing. But I think there's a way. But again, the Common Good Fund is a unique thing to Aberdeen. And again, I would take your point. Maybe we'll have to look at the different ways of utilising such funds.
That would be a good idea, like.
Tell me, how old are you, Drew?
60.
Grandfather?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think about Sheila's thing about the childcare, the playgroups, the price of that just jumping? Because, I mean...
Well, I think it's terrible. And there's another thing I want to speak about.
Go on.
Is the car parking at Forest of Hill.
Well, were you listening last week?
No.
Drew, you got to listen to this show and keep up, man. Come on.
No, my missus is a nurse.
Okay, yes.
At Forest of Hill.
Uh-huh.
Right. Right, I'm an invalid.
Yeah.
Right. And she stays about... Well, we stay in Marswick.
Yes, yes.
And she drives her car.
Yes.
She leaves the house at about 6 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And she gets home the back 8 at night.
Uh-huh.
She does 3 nights a week.
Yes.
But if anything happens to me, she's still stuck at her work.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But if she hasn't got a car, she's got to get a bus.
Yes.
Right, cost of £2.40.
Yes.
A day.
Yes, uh-huh. And so the point you're making is she needs a car in case you give her a shout and you need her to come back and sort you out.
Yes.
I see what you're saying, Drew, yeah.
It's just me getting a parking space.
Yeah. That is something, in fairness, Drew, if you were listening last week, you should have been on, because a lot of people were making that point, and the point that they were making, was it last week or the week before? It was last week. Last week, they were making the point that, the people that work there and the correct reasons for people taking their car there were being lost because people were taking advantage. And I think we all agreed there was a fair point there. The principle behind not charging people was fine, but the way it has to be policed better. But listen, Drew, thanks for coming on. Listen on to the show and listen again next week because you'll learn things. You will. Okay, Drew, you're too crazy. All the best, Drew. Thanks a lot. After the break, we come back and we do a little thing, and it's not tongue-in-cheek, actually, because apparently, how can I put this? If you're overweight, not only are you risking your own health, but you're also risking the environment. We'll tell you after the break.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. Welcome to Talkin'. We've spoken about the third bridge crossing, the Don crossing. We've also had a chat about the fact that the playgroup prices are going up. Probably, Grant, not the best time to do this because it is Mother's Day. So, you know, it's the mums who would be looking to speak about this. So maybe we should have held that one over for next week.
Possibly, yeah.
Possible. But anything on the text?
There is actually text in from a mum.
Yeah.
While you sit and I sit and bring them up. We had Sylvie. I used to work full time, Cammy, but the childcare situation was making it almost not worth my while. I'm now part time. I'm making nearly the same as before without paying childcare costs.
Yeah, yeah. This is what quite a few of the mums are saying, that if they can work it round, you know, the husband is still the main earner, and if they can work it, dad comes home, they maybe go out and do some shifts in the evening and this sort of thing, you know, and the sacrifice of, you know, not doing the bedtime story against staying at home, saving the money for the playgroup and seeing them during the day, it seems to benefit, they say.
I know that when I was younger, I was perhaps also my grands.
Yes. But you see, again, there was, I remember there was a community spirit when I was a kid. You know, that was back in the caves, you know, when there were clubs and things like that. I mean, you know, a neighbour, you know, would have maybe 5 or 6 of the local kids. But this community, the community thing isn't just as strong as it used to be. And again, you know, well, we didn't have gran and grand. We had a surrogate gran and granda who used to look after us up in Orkney when we were there, because all our family was down here, you see. It's different ways.
If you want about the Western Peripheral route and stuff, Scott Ray says, well, this is about the Don crossing, actually. Lives in Tilly Drone. Do you want to live next to it? Then why should I? I think you'd take it about the new road, obviously.
Well, that's it, yes. I mean, unfortunately, that is a decision they have to take, isn't it?
And text it, it's nothing to do with anything we're talking about. Angela Morrison, happy Mother's Day to my mum, Cammy, and on the Bridge of Don crossing, we need to get something sorted. Aberdeen is a joke when it comes to roads, and Angela Morrison's mum is Anne.
Anne, well, there you go, Anne. You got your mention on talking. Hardly had a question, but hey-ho, there we go. Remember we were doing just a thing. This is something that tickled you. Boss man Gary got involved in this. Remember we were doing the designer dogs?
Designer pooches.
But designer pooches, right. Are you ready? Edwina phoned me yesterday on the show and she said, right, I found another one. She's incensed by this. Found another one. A Chihuahua, right, and a Westie. It's called a Chesty.
Yes, that's all I can say to that.
It's not worrying. Okay, on the phone, Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, yourself?
Well, we're still having a wee chuckle about this designer pooches. But before we go on to the obesity thing, you have a wee word about Forrester Hill. Carry on, sir.
Yes, well, obviously, I stay up in the Stoggart Hill area, right?
Oh, yeah, I know where you're at, yes.
Yeah, I am just off Forrester Hill Road there.
I've got you, yeah.
It's a council house, mm-hmm. right? And for the number of years I've stayed up in that area, I got a free permit for parking outside my front door, right? It's a flat.
I understand, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, I won't be paying next year, obviously. I've been asked to pay £180 and £120 for a visitor's pass for me to park outside my own front door, basically. Now, I don't have a designated area to park in, which says that's my area that I pay for.
Uh-huh.
So why should I and other residents be penalised because people can't get a parking space down at the hospital and they have to come up here and park? But obviously they can't do that because they don't have that permit.
I see. Aye, so what you're saying is in order to protect a place for you to park, it's going to cost you now.
Well, it's not done, and I've paid it for the last 2 years. Well, we've got all the residents in this area. I know there's private and council mixed through one another, but uh-huh. obviously that it's their home, they pay their council tax.
Yeah.
And why
Sorry, hold on, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. I'm confused here. You've been paying £100 for the last 2 years?
£180 for myself, and if I need an additional permit, I have to pay another £120 if any of my family want to come up and visit me or anybody else who wants to come up and visit me during a certain time during the day. And they don't have the permit, they're liable to get a parking fine.
I know, wait a minute, Jim. Somebody was on the phone last week about this. In City Centre said the same thing.
Yeah, but I'm a resident in this area and I don't work in a hospital.
I know.
I'm out working all day, okay.
But you know something, Jim? Sorry, I'm just to clarify, that last week I'm sure the person said exactly the same. The fact that they had a flat in the area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I stay in a flat.
And there was people coming in to visit and they got nabbed for it and they didn't understand why.
Yeah, that's because obviously that person didn't buy a permit for their visitors, uh-huh. their family to come. But I think it's a bit hard, isn't it?
It's a bit, seemed a bit harsh, aye.
Yeah, but why is that saying that if I'm out working all day, obviously, but if I was if I didn't have that permit and I come home between the hours at 10 and in the morning and 6 in the evening,
yes,
and didn't have a permit, I was liable to be fined, parking fine.
And what happens if you come home for your lunch, or what happens if you've got to come home for a family emergency, etc.?
Well, you see, I have a permit, come as I told
no,
you.
No, I know, yes, I'm talking about, you know, other people sort of style, you know?
Well, this is what it's all about.
Oh, man.
It's a sad state of affairs that the innocent parties have to be penalised because some selfish persons down at the hospital can't get a parking space and they don't want to pay for a parking space, so they know if there's an area they can get free parking.
Yeah. This parking issue certainly is becoming an issue in the talk, and there's lots of people in different areas of the town having a chat about it. Jim, listen, keep listening and jump in the conversation in the future because I'm sure this one's going to come back, and I appreciate you putting forward a point, OK?
Yeah, OK, Carmen, thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling. There we go.
Bye.
After the break, we will get onto this obesity thing. We will.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
The talking. We're coming up to the final section. It's Mother's Day in the talking, as it is everywhere else. The phone lines are a bit quiet. However, people are still texting in, and we've got a couple of things in the email. Cammy, a Westie and a Chihuahua. Is that biologically possible, or is there artificial insemination? Believe you me, I'm tidying that up. I have no idea, my friend, but it's called a Chesty. This, I tell you, this designer pooches, it's going to live to haunt us in the talking. It really is. Aberdeen scientists say obese people could do their bit for global warming by going on a diet. Now, the world's overweight are said to be contributing to climate change just by breathing. I love this. Researchers from Robert Gordon's University say because CO2 production is proportionate to body mass, heavier individuals create more. Okay? Dr. Catherine Rowland led this study.
If you were to estimate that every overweight individual in the world were to lose a 10 kilogram weight loss and maintain that weight loss for a year's period, that would equate to about 0.2% of total carbon dioxide production from fossil fuels. So proportionally, it's a very, very small amount. But it was just interesting to see what it would equate to at the end of the day. And despite the fact that it is quite a small amount, what we're trying to send home is that certainly the improvements in weight loss should be taken in hand and looked at in hand with improvements in the global change and trying to improve global warming, and that whether you're overweight or not, that you'd probably be best to take your bike rather than your car. A, it's better for you, and second of all, it certainly would improve or reduce carbon dioxide emissions in the long term.
Right. Now, I just love studies, and I'm sorry, it's a small amount. However, there is an interesting side to this. For example, Scotland ranks second in the list of countries in the developed world with the highest obesity rate. Okay? And Grant's sitting here shaking his head to study. But listen to the good bit. This good comes out of all these things. Listen to this. 27% of Scottish people aged between 16 and 64 are obese. Now, there is a growing trend of obesity in young kids as well, school kids, etc. 40% of Scottish people predicted to be obese by 2030 if things don't change. 457 million spent each year to tackle obesity in Scotland, including money spent on NHS specialist medical equipment, obesity drugs and sickness. And this is I was away to say killer, but it is a killer. 3,400 is the number of people who die in Scotland each year because they are dangerously overweight. Now, albeit the study seems to be indicating a minor difference in CO2, the story behind it shows some facts which really are quite scary. So out of the study comes the facts. The facts, they speak for themselves. Raymond, you're phone to talk in. Hello.
Hello, Gary.
How are you today?
Not bad at all.
Good, sounding good today. Sounding good. Go on.
Yeah, I wasn't actually got a phone easy. I thought I'd give you a break.
No, but we don't need a break, Raymond.
But the thing about the overweight people, obese people, excuse me, breathing too much and making too much CO2.
Yeah.
Right, okay. The thing I guess is, why don't they just stop athletics, the Olympics?
Uh-huh.
Because you're not going to tell me that all the efforts that they've into that doesn't make them breathe a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, the CO2 has got to go up in 2012 once they start the Olympics. We'll probably get an ozone hole in the sky.
So you're saying it might even be the fit people that are going to be responsible for throwing more CO2 due to the efforts of their athleticism?
Yeah, unless we can all stop breathing, then that would cure everything, wouldn't it? Just one little thing. I was going to speak about this. Gay marriages.
Go on, quick.
But I haven't got a sorted out yet. But I will phone you next week about that.
Okay.
The uproar about the...
The churches and
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Raymond, as always, nice talking to you. The Talk-In this Sunday has featured some wide issues. Thanks to everybody who called in. We'll be back again next week. And with a bit of luck and a bit of jiggery-pokery, because Grant's going to sort it out, so he assures me, we will, I hope, be doing the Talk-In from Blackpool. The North Sound 2 Talk-In comes from Blackpool. So we'll see if we get any connections between Aberdeen and Blackpool. That's next week on North Sound 2. Thanks.
Listen again to what you've missed
and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.